It is Psalm 103, verse 13. The Bible says this: "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." I realize there's a lot of good dads in the world. There are some that aren't so good. Whether your dad was a great dad, the best ever, or not quite so good, I want you to know that your heavenly Father is good. He is compassionate to us. He shows us grace and unconditional love and forgiveness. And for those reasons alone, we celebrate him. Pray with me if you will. God, we thank you for making human dads. Fatherhood is a great thing, Lord. You meant it to be that way. And so we celebrate the dads who have loved their families, their children, their parents, who continue on in life to be compassionate towards those around us. And Father, I want to thank you because some folks haven't had the best of dads, but when we turn to you, we realize that you, as our heavenly Father, are good. And for that reason, we come today to celebrate you, who you are, thank you for what you've done, and ask you, Holy Spirit, to move among us today, to bless us, to convict us, to lead us to where we need to be as your people. We ask these things together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The Leave a Legacy program, launched in Disney Celebration in the fall of 1999, and it gave guests the opportunity to leave a little piece of themselves at one of their favorite places. Photo capture sections took their digital images, which were then etched onto steel tiles and mounted in one of 30 different granite megaliths around the Legacy Plaza. Everyone can see for decades to come who you were and what you looked like. People tried to leave a legacy that way. I Googled suggestions on how to leave a legacy, and it came up with a few things like plant a tree, donate a park bench, set up a trust fund for your pastors, leave a journal of your life, create art, give someone a job. They don't seem quite the best ways to leave a legacy. A park bench. Now, if you've done that, I'm blessing you, okay? Deep down inside, I believe that everyone wants to leave some form of a legacy. Everybody wants to feel like their life counts, like their life mattered. That while we have a chance to live this life, we want to leave a mark on this passing earth that we live on and to our families. So since it's Father's Day, I wanted to talk about leaving not just a legacy, but leaving a lasting legacy, something that'll be here when we are far, far gone. Now, if you have your outlines that came into your bulletins, take it out and follow along as we go through this. Talk about leaving a lasting legacy. How do you do that? Look at the verse, Proverbs 13:22. It says, "A good life gets passed on to the grandchildren." And then in Psalm 112, verse 6, it says, "A righteous man will be remembered forever." Now, the Bible tells us that there are four qualities you can live in so you can bring and leave a lasting legacy in your life. Number one, if you want to leave a lasting legacy, you need to learn how to speak with integrity. Speak with integrity. Now, integrity is composed of three different activities, and you can fill in the blanks as we go along. Integrity means you're going to be telling the truth. It means you're going to be keeping your word. And it means you're going to be practicing what you believe. Telling the truth, keeping your word, practicing what you believe. The Bible has a lot to say about these three qualities. In Proverbs 17:7, it says, respected people do not tell lies. Now, folks, all leadership is built on one thing, and that is trust. You don't follow someone you don't trust, and trust is built on truth. You don't follow somebody who doesn't tell the truth. So if you want to leave a lasting legacy, the starting point, the foundation of rock-ribbed integrity means you're going to tell the truth. In Proverbs 25:14, look what it says there. People who promise things that they never give are like clouds and wind that bring no rain. Think about it. Have you ever failed to keep a promise? If you want to be a person of lasting, with a lasting legacy, you've got to keep your word. You've got to do what you say you're going to do. Now, it's not very easy to live with integrity. That's why we need God's help. In Psalm 101, verse 2, the Bible says this, I will try to walk a blameless path, but how I need your help, especially in my own home, where I long to act like I should. That should be all of our prayer. Every one of us should make this our prayer. I want to try to walk with a blameless path, but I can't do it on my own. So God, I need your help, especially in my own home. You ever notice the most difficult, challenging place to keep your word, to live with integrity, is in your own home, in the walls of where you live with your own family? Why? Because they know you so well. And sometimes we take things out on the ones we love the most. We don't mean to, but we do. So God, help me, especially in my own home. Eleanor Roosevelt said, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people. She's talking about gossip. Who of us isn't tempted to join in some juicy gossip? If you speak about someone and you're neither part of the problem or part of the solution, you're gossiping. Gossip hurts people, ruins relationships, tarnishes reputations, and Scripture says anyone who spreads gossip is a fool. We need to be people of integrity who know how to keep a confidence and not spread what we hear to other people who love to listen to tantalizing tales. Remember this, folks. Those who gossip with you will also gossip about you. You must speak with integrity to leave a lasting, a forever lasting legacy. Number two, you also need to serve with intensity. Be a servant to others around you. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you've got to learn to be a servant of all. Servanthood is the second key to leaving a lasting legacy. In Proverbs 14:22, it says this, you will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. The fact is, folks, most people just work for their own good. We work for our own dreams, our ambitions, our goals. We're not thinking about the good of other people. That's why a lot of people don't leave a lasting legacy. They don't serve others with intensity. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. It says no matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you do. Do it with all your heart. And what's the motivation behind it? You're doing it as if you're doing it for the Lord Himself. What would you do differently if you really, if Jesus was going to walk with you to work tomorrow? What would you do differently? What would your attitude be like? What would it look like as you take care of things in your office or outside if you work there? What would it look like if Jesus literally went to work with you? Well, folks, he does every day. He does go with you. He is with you. So we should do all we do with our hearts, not as working for people, but as we are doing it for God. I remember when I worked at Caravelle Ice Cream in Baltimore, Maryland. It was one of the first jobs I had, and I got the privilege of being the cleanup guy. Now, it was a walk-in store where you're supposed to just go in and get your ice creams and get out. But what I learned quickly was people would come and get their ice creams, then see a friend, and they'd move over here, and they'd eat their ice creams, and they would drip it all over the floor. And by 10 o'clock at night, that stuff had become, it was adhered to the floor worse than glue. And it was my job to get it clean. I'd go back there and get the mop bucket, and I'd put the appropriate cleaners in there. I'd hot water, get my mop. And this, we didn't have this, put your mop here and get it dried out. It was the old style. And it didn't take me long to realize, I don't really like this job. But I didn't know any other jobs I could get. And one day, I mean, God used these verses literally to say, Kevin, don't do this just because people made it dirty. It's what you have to do. You do this as you do. Do it unto the Lord. And you know, if I really did it unto the Lord, my floors would be a little bit cleaner. No, they would be a lot cleaner. And it changed the way I was working. It made a difference in what I was doing. And my boss really liked it. She appreciated it. I didn't get a raise, but she said, thank you. Raise enough, right? Do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. I'm convinced that there are no great people, no only ordinary people that are committed to a great cause. You don't have to be at the head of your class. The most wonderful, the most talented, the most beautiful person to leave a lasting legacy, you just have to have honesty and integrity and serve with intensity. The tragedy today is many people are wasting their lives on things that aren't going to last. Jesus warned about this. In John 6, 27, he said this. Don't work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. He's giving a principle here. He's saying, don't just waste your time and energy and effort on stuff that's going to rot and spoil and decay and rust. Instead, invest your life in things that are going to last for the long haul, that are going to last for eternity. Now, what's not going to last? Let me give you a couple of things that aren't going to last. One thing that's not going to last is fame. Today, you're the hero. Tomorrow, you're the zero. Don't spend a second of your life trying to become famous. Why? Because the moment you hit the pinnacle, then it's all downhill from there. Nobody remembers yesterday's famous people. Don't make it about status. Status is not going to last. Why spend any of your effort, time, or energy trying to gain status when you're not going to keep it? The status symbols of today will be history by tomorrow. Pleasure? Guess what else doesn't last? Pleasure. Power? Guess what else doesn't last? Power. You may have some authority or power now, but it won't last. Soon, somebody that you used to supervise will be your boss. What is going to last for eternity? First, truth. Truth is going to last for all eternity. So you should build truth into your life. Build your life on God's word, the Bible, which is truth. And secondly, truth will last, and so will people. people are made to last for forever. Everybody's going to last forever in one of two places. You're either going to be in heaven with God, or you're going to be apart from God in what the Bible calls hell, separation from God. One day your heart's going to stop, your body's going to die, but that's not the end of you. What you do on this earth and what you commit to is going to determine where you spend eternity. You need to ask yourself, have I made a commitment to Jesus Christ? Have I set my life right before God? Have I allowed him into my life? Am I following him? If you've never done that, then I encourage you to do that now, today. It's easy to do. God wants you to be saved. You say, well, Kevin, you don't really know anything about me. I don't have to. I don't have to know about what you've done, because when Jesus died on the cross, his blood covered every sin for every person forever. He wants to do that for you. He wants to forgive you and give you life. So if you want to leave a lasting legacy, build it on the two things that will last forever. Invest in truth, the Word of God, and invest in other people. Let me give you a little quiz this morning. Have you ever heard of Chester Arthur? Most of you probably haven't. I didn't. I didn't know who he was. Chester Arthur was the 21st president of the United States of America from 1881 to 1885. A president of the United States, and nobody in this room has a clue who he was. The Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded to 96 individuals and 20 organizations, 116 times in total. And I'll bet this room altogether couldn't name 10 of the recipients. We forget about yesterday's heroes. And these are not insignificant people, folks. They're not second-rate achievers. They're at the top of their class, at the pinnacle of what we call success in our society. Folks, achievements vanish, awards tarnish, certificates grow yellow. No one remembers who was on the cover of Time last week. That's why we need to focus on something that's going to last forever. Let me give you another quiz. Can you name the most helpful teacher you had in school? I can. I have two or three. Can you name two friends who helped you through a difficult time? Probably so. Can you name someone who taught you something worthwhile? Yeah. That was for the next question. Can you name the best-looking pastor in the church? But you jumped the gun, but thank you. Can you name somebody who ever believed in your potential? People who make the greatest difference, who leave a legacy in your life, are not the most famous, the most wealthy, the most talented. The people who have left a legacy in your life are the people who have served you in love. John Wooden, who was head basketball coach at UCLA from 1948 to 1975, won 10 national championships. Wooden coached basketball for a living, but his calling was to impact people. In the middle of the week, this nationally acclaimed basketball coach was found going into a janitorial closet and grabbing a broom with which he swept the basketball court floor. When asked why he did this, he said, "Sweeping the floor keeps me grounded. It reminds me that I didn't get where I am on my own. We couldn't win basketball games if it weren't for the people who clean this floor every day." Scripture says, do not think of yourself more highly than you should, but think in a way that results in sound judgment. If you're trying to impress people, and instead you want to make an impact on people, find your broom and sweep your floor. It's story is told about a teacher, Miss Thompson. At the beginning of every school year, she would stand before the boys and girls in her class and she would say, "I love you all the same." Which isn't really true. I love teachers. Teachers are great, but they are not perfect and they have favorites. I never was one of them. In her class, Teddy Stollard happened to be a little boy that Miss Thompson didn't really care for very much. Looking at his record, she saw that he wasn't interested in school whatsoever. He was expressionless. He had glassy eyes, unfocused appearance. His clothes were musty, and his hair was unkempt. He wasn't attractive and most certainly wasn't likable. And Miss Thompson marked Teddy's papers with big X's and with big F's at the top when he failed, which was most of the time. She should have known better because she read his record, and in the record it said this: first grade, Teddy shows promise with his work and his attitude, but he has a poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy could do better. Mother, seriously ill, receives little help from home. Third grade, Teddy's a good boy, but too serious, a slow learner. His mother died this year. And fourth grade, Teddy very slow but well-behaved. Father shows no interest. At Christmas time, all the kids, do you remember this? At Christmas time, we'd bring presents for our teacher. And at Christmas time, all the kids brought their presents to the teacher, put them on Miss Thompson's desk, and then they sat there waiting for her to open their gift. Those kids were well-trained, and when you open the gift, everybody goes, "Ooh, Miss Thompson makes a big deal." She got a present from Teddy that year. His gift was wrapped with brown paper and scotch tape, and on the paper was written, "For Miss Thompson from Teddy Stollard." And when she opened it, out fell a rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. The other boys and girls began to giggle and smirk, and Miss Thompson had at least enough sense to silence them by immediately putting the bracelet on, and she sprayed some of that perfume around, and she put her wrist out there and says, "Smell this," and all the kids responded correctly, "Ooh, doesn't this smell good?" "Yes, Miss Thompson, it does." At the end of the day, all the children left except Teddy. And he waited behind, and he slowly came to Miss Thompson and said, Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother did. And that bracelet of my mother's looks good on your wrist. When Teddy left, Miss Thompson got down on her knees and asked God to forgive her. The next day, when the children came to school, they were welcomed by a new teacher. Her name, Miss Thompson. But by now, Miss Thompson had returned to her first love. She no longer was just a teacher. She became an agent for God. She now was committed to loving her children and doing the things for them that would last forever. She helped the students, especially the slow ones, and especially Teddy. She decided to make her life count by investing in other people. By the end of the year, Teddy showed dramatic improvement, caught up with most of the students, and even passed a few. Miss Thompson didn't hear from Teddy for many, many years. And one day she received a note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know that I would be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy." 4 years later, another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me that I'd be graduating from my class first in line, and I wanted you to be the first to know. The university hasn't been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy." 4 years later, she received another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stollard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know, and I'm getting married next month, the 22nd to be exact, and I want you to come and sit where my mother would have sat." You're the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy. When Miss Thompson went to that wedding, she sat right where Teddy's mother would have sat. And she made a difference in that boy's life for the rest of his life. You want to leave a lasting legacy? Make your life count by investing in someone. We don't have much longer to make a difference in someone's life. Do it today. Do it now. Do it this week. And do it for the rest of your life. Don't get to the end of your life wishing you had done something with someone or for someone. Do it now. Another thing we can do to make a lasting legacy, we invest in people. And number three, give with generosity. Give with generosity. The Bible makes it very clear that we make a living by what we get in life, but we make a legacy by what we give in life. You will never leave a legacy unless you learn to become a generous giver of your time, of your money, of your energy, of your effort, and of your talents. Look at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. Godly people give generously. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. And in Psalm 112, verse 9, it says this: He who gives generously to the needy and shows kindness will be powerful and respected. We need to learn to give. Yeah, monetarily, yes. Money back to the Lord through the church, absolutely. But more than that, our time, our talent, our energy, we need to give to leave a lasting legacy. Andrew Carnegie was one of the richest people in human history. When he died, they found in his desk a little piece of paper on which he had written one of the life missions for himself. It said, I'm going to spend the first half of my life making as much money as I can. I'm going to spend the second half of my life giving it all away. And that's exactly what Carnegie did. In his lifetime, he gave away $450 million. You've probably heard of Carnegie Hall, Carnegie Institute, Carnegie Foundation. We see his names all these years later. If he'd kept all that money, he'd be a nobody. He became somebody, not because he could earn it, but because he gave it away. Some of you are thinking, oh, that's a great idea. I think I'll do that. I'll make all the money I can the first half of my life, and then I'll give it all away. The question is, how do you know when your life is half over? So we all need to be giving now. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So we should start giving generously today. And amazing things happen when you become a generous giver. In Proverbs 11, 125, it says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. God wants us to become more and more like him, to become a giver, to become generous. And he says, let's just play a little game. Let's see who can outgive the other. Let's see who can give the most, you or me. We'll never be able to outgive God. That's obvious. So the more we become a blessing to others, the more God blesses you. Why? So then you can bless others. So God blesses you. So then you can even bless others more. Give some stuff away. Give your time. Give your energy. What kind of giver are you, by the way? What kind of giver am I? I've discovered that there are basically three kinds of givers. There are those who are givers, and they're like a flint rock. You have to take a hammer and hammer it before they'll give anything, right? Some of you are sponge givers. To get anything out of the sponge, you have to squeeze it and wring it to get anything out. God wants you to be a honeycomb giver. You overflow with sweetness, with the blessings you have. And you're always trying to help, trying to give, trying to share, trying to serve. That's the kind of givers God wants us to be. The key is this, folks. The time to be generous with your time and your attention and your love, the time to do it all, as I said, is now. Look at Proverbs 3:27. Whenever you are able to do good to people who need help, do it. Don't say, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow. Whenever you can help someone, do it then. Don't say, why not say, come back tomorrow, I'll do it? Because you don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. Dads and moms, how many times have we said to our kids, later? Later, tomorrow, next week, later, we'll do it. And one time your kids grow up, they go off to college, and before you know it, they're getting a job and getting married and starting their own home, and later becomes never. There are 7 days in a week, and someday is not one of them. You only have your family for a season. They're not going to be home forever. Speak with integrity, serve with intensity, give with generosity now while you have the opportunity. And number four, another practice we need to implement is to succeed with humility. Succeed with humility. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:23, arrogance will bring your downfall, but if you are humble, you will be respected. To leave a lasting legacy, you need to stay humble or you're going to stumble. Remember the lesson of the whale. When you get to the top and you're ready to blow, that's when they harpoon you. Joyce Banda was president of Malawi. She didn't flaunt her new position with lavish pride. Instead, you know what she did? She sold off the entire presidential jet and fleet of 60 Mercedes limousines and used the money to feed 1 million people in her country while she drove around in a regular car. That's what it's like to succeed with humility. Now, humility is frequently associated with being too passive or too submissive or too insecure, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Humility doesn't mean you refuse to recognize your talents and your gifts and your skills. Some people are successful, but humble people just don't feel the impetus to boast about it. To be humble doesn't mean you think less of yourself. It just means you think less often of yourself. Humility finds ways to make other people feel like they are the most important person in the room, not you. And God uses a couple of things to test your humility. One of them is praise. The Bible says praise is the test of character. Every time you're complimented, this is a test. Are you going to get egotistical about it? Are you going to get prideful? The human species is the only species that when you pat them on the back, their head swells. Now, listen, if you did something good and somebody says, great job, it's fine to say thank you. That's not an admission that you did all this on your own. But you just don't start thinking that you did. The other thing God uses is mistakes. Someone who will not learn will be poor and disgraced. Anyone who listens to correction will be respected. You just have to admit, folks, that you don't know it all. Humility is being honest about your weaknesses, being honest about what you don't know, being able to laugh at yourself. The word humor and humility come from the same root word. Be humble. The greatest lasting legacy of all is simply to help someone come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, whether it's in your family, outside of your family, in the neighborhood that you live, where you work. I think it's sobering to ask ourselves the question, is anybody going to be in heaven because of me? That's the greatest lasting legacy you could ever have. To be part of those people who lead someone to Jesus. God, as we think about leaving a lasting legacy today, we pray for your direction, for your intervening in our lives to help us see people, situations, the world around us, to find ways that we can help leave lasting legacies that won't be etched with our names, God, but yours. If our name, whatever would appear on a plaque or somewhere, a piece of paper, out beside it, over it, under it, should be all because of you, God. Bless our time of invitation now, Lord, responses that we might make for you as we consider about leaving lasting legacies in our lives, in the life of those around us, on this earth, until you call us home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Let's go and practice outside. Let's do it. Lord, thank you for this great group. We thank you for a great week at camp, a great message here today, the music challenging us to take this message out where we go. Be with us Tuesday night, Lord. I pray for a great rally as we celebrate the decisions and things that happened at camp and all the folks that made it possible. Lord, most of all, thank you. Thank you for the dads who leave a legacy. And we pray it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.